This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. We continue بإذن الله تعالى our weekly حلقات والحمد لله dealing with the life of our Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Last week we had no class, we were traveling. The week before, we discussed some aspects from the life of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we will continue bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. This week, we talk about the akhlaq of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some snapshots into the character of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the other half bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we will move on to the biography of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. We spoke about some of his family members in our previous majlis. We spoke about his first name. Abu Bakr was not his name. Rather, Abdullah was his name. We discussed the age difference between himself and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We talked about Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an and his embrace of al-Islam. We talked about Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an and when he was born, etc. Bismillah ta'ala, we move on to the akhlaq of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam al-Nawawi states that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the most generous of people and he was never more generous than in the month of Ramadan. He was most generous in the month of Ramadan. He had the best of morals and manners and he was the best in physical constitution, meaning physically the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very handsome. His hands were the softest of hands. And he was the most pleasant smelling of the people. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a beautiful fragrance with regards to himself. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most intelligent of all of the people. And he was the best of them with regards to companionship and good nature. He was the most courageous of them. And he was the one who had obviously the most knowledge with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was the most fearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never became angry for any personal motive. Neither did he take revenge for any personal motive. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he only got angry when the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mighty and magnificent, were violated. And nothing would anger the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and nothing would appease the anger of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until the truth had become apparent. When he became angry, he would turn aside or avert his face. So he would turn away. Like for example, when some of the Sahaba came to him and they confessed that they had fallen into the crime of zina, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned away from them. His manners were the manners of the Quran, and he was the most humble of people. He would fulfill the needs and the requirements of his family, and he would lower his wing in mercy to the weak. He was never asked for anything, and his reply was negative. Never ever. Whenever he would be asked for something, he would always give them in a positive light. He was most forbearing of people. He had hilm. People might have said certain things and done certain actions in front of him, but he would overlook this matter. And he had a greater sense of modesty and shame than a virgin secluded in her private room might have. He viewed the near and the far, the strong and the weak all the same. He never criticized food. If he desired it, he ate it. And if he didn't want it, didn't like it, then he left it. He would not eat while he was reclining, while he was like lying down. He wouldn't eat in that manner. That's a sign of somebody who's full of arrogance. He lies down and he eats. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not do that. Neither did he eat upon an eating table, like maybe what we are familiar with the eating table. No, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sit on the floor and eat on the floor. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would eat what was easy and readily available to him. So he wouldn't on the table go for that one, that what's near some other person, but rather what's close to him. That's what he would eat. We're not talking about now. You have the pot here and the curry is on that side, so you ask for that. No, no issue with that. In those days, Generally, they wouldn't have more than one type of dish. And so you are eating rice and you have something, and everybody has rice and something, but you are putting your hands in the area where the other people are eating. No. I mean, that's uncouth behavior. He used to love sweets and honey. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "What a good condiment vinegar is." Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "The superiority of Aisha over all other women is like the superiority of a thareed. Thareed is a mixture of bread and meat and broth over all other types of food. His favorite part of the sheep was the shoulder." Abu Huraira said that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this world without ever eating his fill of barley bread. He never ever filled his stomach with barley bread. Probably that was, the best of the breads at that time. So he never ever filled his belly. He never had the opportunity to even do that. A month or two would go by without a fire being lit in any of his houses. Meaning they didn't have food that would be cooked on fire for a month or 2 months. That they were having water and they were having dates. He used to partake of gifts, but he would not touch that which was given as charity. Sadaqah and zakah, he wouldn't touch. He would reward a gift with a gift. If you gave him a gift, he would give you back another gift. He would fix his own sandals and sew his own clothes. He would visit the sick and accept the invitation of the rich, the poor, the noble and the lowly alike. He would never look down with contempt upon anyone. Sometimes he would sit with his knees drawn up to his chest, holding his shins with his hands. Sometimes he would sit cross-legged. And sometimes he would sit reclining. Most of the time he would sit in the first posture. In the first posture where you have one leg lifted up. Sit like that, Yusuf. One leg lifted up. So, with the hand around that leg. Yes, like that. And that was his most common posture. He would eat with three fingers. And he would lick his fingers after eating. He would drink water in three sips. Doesn't mean now you've got a whole cup of water, you must drink all of this water in three sips. No, every time you are drinking, you drink in three sips. So for example, three sips like that. As opposed to, just gulping it down. Most of the time, he would drink in three sips, taking a breath between each outside of the vessel that contained the water. He wouldn't breathe into the water. He would speak in a comprehensive and concise words. He would repeat his words three times so people understood them clearly. His words were clear and understandable to all those who heard him. He wouldn't speak with such words that you don't even understand what he's talking about. And he would not speak unless there was a need to speak. He would not stand or sit except that he would make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the exalted. He rode a horse, a camel, a donkey, a mule. Sometimes having Mu'adh sit behind him on the camel and on a donkey. He would not allow anyone to walk behind him. Meaning that he wouldn't like how the leaders, when they walk, then people walk behind them. He wouldn't like that. No, don't walk behind me. He would tie a rock firmly on his stomach out of hunger. And he and his family would lie down to sleep while they were still hungry. They would go to bed while they were still hungry. His bed was made of leather skin, being filled with palm fibers. He would seldom partake of the delight and the pastimes of this world. And even when he did, he only took a little. Allah the Exalted had given him the keys of the treasures of this world, but he refused to accept them, preferring rather the hereafter instead. He would frequently and consistently perform the dhikr of Allah. Constantly, he would be in a state of contemplation. Most of the time, his laugh would consist of a smile. So he wouldn't really laugh aloud, but rather when he would want to laugh, he would just like smile. And sometimes he would laugh such that his molar teeth would also be visible. He loved good scents, good smells, and he hated horrible smells. He joked, but he would not say anything except the truth. He would accept the excuses presented to him by people, and he was as Allah the Exalted described him. So when people would give excuses, I didn't do this because of XYZ, I couldn't do this because of XYZ, I didn't come because of XYZ, he would accept these excuses from the people. لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم. He is as Allah described. Indeed, there has come to you a messenger from amongst yourselves. Grievous, it grieves him what you suffer. When you go through tough times, oh, the ummah, it grieves him. He is deeply concerned about you and kind and merciful to the believers. وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ. And pray for them. Allah said to him, pray for them, pray for the ummah. Indeed, your prayers bring about relief for them. His censuring would consist of his alluding and hinting at something or someone, for example. He wouldn't make it plainly clear. Why did Salman do such and such? Why did Ahmed do such and such? Fatima came and said X, Y, and Z. No. Rather, he would speak in a manner where he wouldn't mention the name. He would say, what is the matter with people that they set certain conditions that are not in the book of Allah, etc., etc. So he wouldn't mention the name of the person. He would command with gentleness and he would encourage gentleness while prohibiting rudeness and harshness. He would encourage forgiveness, clemency and all virtuous morals and manners. He loved starting with his right hand when cleaning, when putting on his shoes. He would begin with the right, combing his hair, and indeed all of his matters he would begin with the right, generally all the good matters. His left hand was reserved for cleaning himself after he relieved himself in the toilet, for whatsoever was deemed offensive. When he slept or laid down, he would lie down on his right hand side facing the Qibla. His gatherings would be conducted with forbearance and modesty, conducted with integrity and honesty, and they were places of patience and tranquility. No voice was raised therein. Women were not needlessly discussed. Rather, matters inducing taqwa were discussed, and those present would be humble, giving due respect to the elders, showing mercy to the young, giving precedence to the needs of the needy and protecting the stranger. Hence, they would leave having been guided to and guiding to the good. They would leave his majlis that they are now guided, and they would also be people who would guide others. He would bring his companions together in unity. He would honor the head of every nation and enjoin him to govern their affairs. He would ask after his companions, meaning ask about his companions, where so-and-so, we haven't seen so-and-so, etc. He was not one who spoke indecently or promoted indecent speech and action. He would not recompense an evil act with an evil act. Rather, he would forgive and overlook. He never struck a servant or a woman. Indeed, he never struck anything except when he was fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was never given a choice between two matters except that he would choose the easier matter as long as it didn't involve any sin. The evidences for all which I have mentioned, Imam An-Nawawi is saying, are famous and can be found in the Sahih. Allah the Glorious and Exalted combined in him perfect manners and beautiful habits and temperament. He granted him knowledge of the previous and the latter people, and that which contains victory and success. This despite the fact that he was illiterate, not being able to read or write. Having no human teacher, Allah granted him what he had not granted any of the creation and chose him above all the first and the last of the people. Abundant peace and blessings be upon him perpetually until the last day of judgment. It is established in the Sahih from Anas ibn Malik that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I have not touched silk, no silk that was finer to touch than the hands of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I've not smelt anything that was more pleasant than the smell of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I served the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 10 years and he never once ever told me, "Uff," neither did he ever say to me, "Why did you do this?" or to something that I did not do, "Why have you not done such and such?" sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So with regards to the akhlaq of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's what we will discuss bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. We talked about what Imam An-Nawawi mentioned from the akhlaq of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some examples of that akhlaq. We also find in the noble Quran, Allah mentions with regards to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim, and you are of a lofty character. You are of a lofty high character, subhanallah. And then Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she used to say, kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. That whatever you find in the Qur'an, that's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was like a living Qur'an, walhamdulillah. And if we want evidences with regards to his good character, then look at Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, when the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he first got revelation, and then he rushed to Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he says, I fear for myself. I don't know what's happening. I saw something. I'm all shocked, etc. She says, "Kalla wallah, ma yukhzika Allah abadan. Allah will not forsake you ever. Innaka latasilu rahim. You join family ties. Watahmilu al-kal. And you have these people who are in difficulties, etc. You assist the poor. You are good to your guests. You honor your guests. You have those people who are going through tough times. You stand up for the truth." This was the akhlaq of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even before he got revelation. Even before revelation, subhanallah. I mean, most of us, after reading the Quran and memorizing the Quran and all of that, our akhlaq cannot even match what the akhlaq of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, even before revelation. Allahumma musta'in. We also find that, subhanallah, when the Quraysh were building the Kaaba and they were arguing with one another and fighting, they said, the next man who enters, he will decide. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered, they said, Ja'a al-Amin, the trustworthy one has entered. The trustworthy one has come. Ja'a Muhammad. So they knew the character of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We also find when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the revelation, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, and warn your close family. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on the mountain of Safa. He went up on the mountain of Safa, and then he called all of his family members. Ya Bani Adi, they gathered. Oh Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad. Oh this one, oh that one. I call you to La ilaha illallah, you will be successful. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned all of that. And then what did Abu Lahab say? Abu Lahab said, Faja'a Abu Lahab wa Quraysh. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Lahab and the Quraysh came. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, if I told you that there was an army, horses, etc., ready to attack you behind this mountain, would you believe me? The important part, they said, yes. We do not know you to be a liar. We do not know you to be a liar. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them that I'm calling you to that which is better for you in this world and in the hereafter. And that's when Abu Lahab said, is this why you gathered us? But the point is, they said that we do not know him to be a liar. We do not know you to be a liar. Also Abu Jahl, subhanallah, that Abu Jahl, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, rather Abu Jahl said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's not that we regard you as a liar, but rather we disbelieve in what you came with. It's not that we think you're a liar. No. We know you're a truthful man. But we disbelieve and we do not believe in that which you are talking and that which you are mentioning, meaning the Noble Quran. Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, قَدْ نَعْلَمُ إِنَّهُ لَيَحْزُنُكَ الَّذِي يَقُولُونَ فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ. They do not say that, you're a liar. They do not disbelieve in you in terms of that matter. وَلَكِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ. Rather, in the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the signs of Allah, that's what they disbelieve. Point is, that if they say, no, I trust you. I mean, I'm not saying you're a liar. But this that you are talking about, we don't think that is true. Jayid, Allah musta'an. Also, Abu Sufyan, remember, when he went to Heraclius, he was in that caravan, and Heraclius asked him, what do you people say about Muhammad? Tell me about him, and are his followers increasing, and what happens when you guys fight with them, etc. Many questions. And this guy asked, was this something that, he's known to be a liar? Is this something maybe that he learned from his father and stuff like this? And so Abu Sufyan said, no, we don't know him to be somebody like that. And subhanAllah, we mentioned in the week before last that one of the reasons that Imam Al-Maqdisi wrote that other small book of Sirah, that they were on this journey and some of his friends went to the monastery, and then the priest asked, tell me about your religion. Who is this man Muhammad? Tell me about his lineage. Tell me about his lineage, his nasab. And so they didn't know. And then eventually they came to the sheikh, he informed them, and then they went back and told the monk. Monk said, no, you guys didn't know, it's that man. And then they had conversations with one another. Point is, the first question he asked, tell me about the lineage, the nasab, who's his family and his forefathers. An important reason also is because, you know, these people are familiar with the Anbiya and the various prophets and the lineage of the prophets, and that's why they were asking about that. And similarly, Heraclius, the first question he asked Abu Sufyan, that what is his nasab amongst you people? You know, who's his father and his forefathers and stuff? You know, tell me about that matter. Right? And then he also asked about whether he's truthful. And Abu Sufyan, he said, I wanted to lie, but then people might say I'm a liar. So I did not lie. Point is, Abu Sufyan also testified with regards to the character of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, subhanallah, before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became a Nabi, he was obviously dealing in business. And he did business with somebody by the name of Sa'ib al-Makhzumi. And the Sa'ib al-Makhzumi, during the conquest of Mecca, he became Muslim. And he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, marhaban bi akhi wa shariki, welcome to my brother and my partner. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was his partner in the days of Jahiliyyah, in the early days. So that he's obviously welcoming the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because when they did business together, he was honest in that business. He was trustworthy in that business, walhamdulillah. Also, remember the famous hadith in Medina al-Munawwara. The first hadith the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in Medina al-Munawwara. Afshu salama baynakum. Spread the salam amongst you. Feed the people, etc. You remember the famous hadith reported by Abdullah ibn Salam. And he said, when I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam there at the entrance of Medina al-Munawwara, at the area of Quba, I saw his face and I knew that this was not the face of a liar. I saw his face and I knew that this was not the face of a liar, subhanallah. And so from this angle here now, we went through the seerah, mashallah, from beginning till end. But if you look at different aspects of the seerah, you know, you pull them out from different places, mashallah. So it's a different angle to it, walhamdulillah. Then we also find that was the proofs with regards to his character and some examples and others testifying with regards to his character. Then we all find the noble Quran testifying with regards to his character. Allah says in the noble Quran, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And you, O the Prophet, you are of a lofty character. Allah said, you are of a lofty character, subhanAllah. Jaheed. We find that some mention that, you know, what do they mean by his character was the Quran? So we find when the verses of the Quran were revealed, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his sajda, in his ruku, he began making more tasbih, etc., etc., implementing what the Quran had mentioned. We find in the noble Quran, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. The exact verse that Imam al-Nawawi mentioned when we just discussed earlier on with regards to the character of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ, there has come to you people, a messenger, رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ, a messenger from yourselves, from your own people, etc., from amongst yourselves. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ, it hurts him what you people suffer. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ, whatever you people go through of difficulties, it hurts the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ, he is deeply concerned with regards to you people. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ, and with regards to the believers, he is kind and merciful to the believers. That's how Allah described the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also Allah mentioned in the noble Quran, الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّيَّ الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. Those who follow the messenger who is unlettered, which they find He's mentioned in the Torah and the Injil, يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. He orders them to do that which is good. وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And he prohibits them from evil. وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. He makes halal for them that which is good and wholesome. وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. And all matters which are evil and filthy, he prohibits it upon them. وَيَضَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِسْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ. And he removes the difficulties, etc., that were upon them. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. It is by Allah's rahmah, Allah's rahmah upon you, O Muhammad, that you are lenient with the people, you are easygoing with the people. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَظًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. And if you are hard and you are harsh with them, then they will all turn away from you. مَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. He does not speak of his own desires. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَى. He only speaks of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to him. So this is all the verses of the Qur'an talking about the character of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا هُوَ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ بِضَنِينَ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not somebody who holds and covers up the truth. Right? He's not somebody who hides the truth. Rather, Allah is praising that he is somebody who, you know, manifests and makes it open. Jayid. We also find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioning that Allah sent him to come and complete good character. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ أَوْ صَالِحَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I have come to complete good character. Jayid. And with regards to matters of character, maybe a bit more detail when it comes to generosity. When it comes to generosity, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was generous. Not only generous with his wealth, but also generous with himself. Sometimes we forget that. You know, you give people the time of day. Somebody phones you, they want to talk, you give them that time. Somebody wants to meet, you give them that time. You go and visit your family members, etc. Besides money, you know, you are giving them your time. Jayid. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also on the battlefield, you know, giving his sweat and his blood, etc. in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam interceding on behalf of people, that Mughith, when her husband, Mughith was married to Barira. So Mughith was the husband and Barira was the wife. When Barira got her freedom, automatically her husband is still a slave. So she's got the choice. Remain with a slave husband or get your freedom. She chose her freedom. Mughith was missing her and crying for her and wanted her. Prophet ﷺ came and interceded and said that, why don't you go back to Mughith? He's missing you. So she said, Ya Rasulullah, are you ordering me to go back? If you're ordering me to go back to him, then I will go back. But if you are interceding, then I got no need for him. He says, I'm only interceding. I got no need for him. Point is, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, put himself there that, you know, for my sake, etc. You know, can you please, you know, go back to that husband? So he was interceding on behalf of people for good. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he was from the leaders of the Anbiya, or rather the leader of all of the Anbiya, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like all of the Anbiya, they had special du'as that would be accepted. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every Nabi has a du'a that will be accepted. And the same with regards to myself. But I have kept my du'a for shafa'a of my ummah. I didn't want to use it up now. I want to keep my dua as intercession for my ummah on Yom Al-Qiyamah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Imam An-Nawawi mentioned, he would never refuse anyone anything. Everybody asked, as they said, there's some lines of poetry, they said, had it not been for la ilaha illallah, you would not hear the word la on his tongue. Had it not been for la ilaha illallah, you would never hear the word la on his tongue. It's always yes and no problem, etc., etc. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. Allah mentions with regards to the Ansar that they give others preference over themselves, even though they are in need, etc. So how much more the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? At the Hunain battle, after the Ghazwa of Hunain, when they had so much and so much and so much of booty, how much did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam give to the new Muslims, etc.? Give people between the two mountains, take whatever you want, it's yours. Some of them went back to the people and they said, I'm coming from a man who doesn't fear poverty. Muslim, become Muslim. He said to his people, subhanAllah, Shahid. Safwan ibn Umayyah, he said that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave me so much, so much. Before that, he was the most hated of people to me. But he gave me so much, he became the most beloved of people to me, subhanAllah, Shahid. We find that somebody became a Muslim, and he just became a Muslim for the dunya. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would give him of the dunya, and then later on this person, his heart would become firm upon Islam, walhamdulillah, and gave so much and would give so much from the Baytul Mal to this people and those people and this one and left, right and center. And when he passed away, his shield was pawned. Didn't have enough of money to buy food for cash. That they needed to give we got no money, so take my shield, and if I'm unable to pay, then you sell the shield and you can recover up your costs. Imagine, subhanAllah. Right? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say that I am the leader of the children of Adam on Yawm al-Qiyamah. I am the first one whose grave will be open, and I will be the first intercessor, and I will be the first whose intercession will be accepted. And so even though he is the leader of mankind and the leader of the Anbiya, etc., etc., Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one would say he was down to earth, he was full of humility, masha'Allah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was given the choice to be a slave Rasul or a king Nabi, he chose to be a slave Rasul as opposed to like a Nabi who is a king. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he entered into Makkah al-Mukarramah during the conquest of Makkah, he never entered with his head high up and a sword in the hand like that. No, he entered with his head lowered as a sign of humility, subhanAllah. With regards to Medina al-Munawwara, the Sahaba would say that a slave girl, she could come along, hold the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and take him wherever she wanted. Right? Take him wherever she wanted, meaning, you know, I want to talk to you, I got some issue, I got this problem, that problem. You know, no problem at all, subhanAllah. There was that woman who had some sort of mental issue. She comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have some need, etc., I have some work with you. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went with her to sort out all of those matters of hers. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that in the house, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would be in the khidmah of his family. He would have his family out at home. But then when the salah, adhan, iqamah would go, then, you know, he would leave off for salah and nothing would take him away from the matter of salah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he was invited for a shoulder, a piece of meat, anything, etc., he would accept those invitations. Whether it was a rich person, poor person, lowly, high, he would accept the invitation. Walhamdulillah. Look at this. That Shu'bah ibn Yasar says, كنت أمشي مع ثابت البناني فمر بالصبيان فسلم عليهم. And then ثابت البناني, some children walked past by and he gave them salams. And then وحدث ثابت البناني أنه كان يمشي مع أنس. And so this Tabi'i, by the name of Thabit al-Bunani, he's walking with a student and he made salam to the children. And then he said to his student, one day I was walking with the Sahabi Anas ibn Malik. And then Anas ibn Malik gave salam to the children. And then Anas ibn Malik told me that he used to walk with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by the children, he would give them salam. Shahid? So look at this. So Anas says, I was with the Prophet. Prophet used to greet the children. Anas did the same later on in his life when he was a teacher for his student, Thabit al-Bunani. And Thabit al-Bunani, the Tabi'i, later on does the same with his students. Shahid? And more especially, I mean, why did they even find the need to mention this? That Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam greeted the children. One might say, well, what's so great about that? Maybe because many others were not greeting the children. Maybe it wasn't the practice of the high people, the rich people, the high people, you know, to greet kids and stuff like that. What they're trying to show here is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come down to the level of the kids. Right? He would engage with the kids, mashallah. Right? In kana Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam la yukhalituna hatta yaqul li akhin li saghir. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to mix with us. Until Anas says that he said to my little brother, Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'ala Nughair, oh, this father of Umair, what happened to your little bird? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would, you know, engage with the kids even to that level, subhanAllah. Anas says, I worked for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 10 years. Not once did he ever tell me, why did you do this? Why did you not do that? Allahumma sta'in jayid. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to ride a horse, used to ride a donkey, ride a mule. He never found any issue with regards to any of that. And he said, no person humbles themselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises this person with him. With regards to his mercy and rahmah for his ummah, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know the famous story when the Bedouin entered the masjid and he urinated. Look at how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with that person. After that person did whatever was done, and then he says to him that this masjid is not for all of this here. Jayid. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised him. This person said, you only have mercy upon me and Muhammad, O Allah. O Allah, have mercy on me and Muhammad. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, why are you restricting something which is vast? Sahaba wanted to pounce on this man. He said, no, leave him. Let him urinate. Let him finish urinating in the masjid. Allahumma sta'in. Jayid. Look at his mercy and shafaqah and kindness that he showed upon the ummatis. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when a companion, he prolonged the salah. And then somebody complained about this matter. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got angry. Why are you prolonging the salah? You are discouraging people from salah. That's what you're doing. You're discouraging people from the action of salah. Allahumma sta'an. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he heard a baby crying or a kid crying salah, then he would shorten his prayer. And he said to the companion, why are you causing a fitna? There's the young, the old, etc. You need to be cognizant with regards to these matters if you are the imam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would lead salah, and Umama, he would carry Umama on his shoulders. And when he would go into ruku, he would put her down. When he would stand up, he would carry her again, etc. He said that, I think maybe it would be a burden upon my ummah, and that's why I am not obliging this miswak upon them. لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشُقَ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي لَأَمَرْتُهُمْ بِالسِّوَاكِ عِنْدَ كُلِّ الصَّلَاةِ. Had I not felt that it was a burden, otherwise I would have made this miswak matter wajib upon every Muslim at the time of salah or at the time of wudu. The companion states that with regards to Salatul Taraweeh, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the second night or the third night didn't come out. Why? He said, because I didn't want Allah to make it an obligation upon you people, then you find it difficult. He didn't want to put difficulty upon the Muslims. When some people wanted to fast every day, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do, he said, no, don't do that. Don't do that. That's not for you people. Jahid, he had mercy upon them with regards to that matter. When the companion Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam, he was talking in salah. After salah, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised him nicely. The companion said, I never saw a teacher better than the teacher, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He never rebuked me, nor reprimanded me, nor slandered me, or anything like that. Rather, he says, this is salah, it's not for the talking of men. Right? This was that person who said, Yarhamukallah in salah. Somebody sneezed and said, Alhamdulillah. And so this companion said, Yarhamukallah. And the people looked at him. He said, what are you looking at me? For what are you looking at me? May your mother lose you. Right? So all of this talking, but look at how the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with him. With regards to him forgiving people and stuff like that, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Aisha, the Jews, they said, Salam alaikum. Poison be to you. Right? So she said, Salam alaikum to you people. And la'na and the curse of Allah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, why are you doing that, Aisha? She said, well, didn't you hear what they said? He said, I said, didn't you hear what I said? I said, wa alaikum, and to you people. If they wanted good, it's good to them. And if they wanted evil, then the evil is back upon them. Allahumma sta'an, shayid. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was walking, and this Bedouin came and grabbed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the collar, and you could see the traces of that collar on the neck of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He smiled, and the Bedouin wanted wealth. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Sahaba to give him. Jayid. With regards to him and da'wah, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how much of sabr he observed in his da'wah. How many children the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lost in his lifetime? 6 of his 7 children all passed away in his life. When he went to Ta'if and he was at the receiving end of their misbehavior. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was re-entering Makkah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angels to destroy the people who were his enemies. And he said, no, I don't want them to be destroyed. Maybe Allah will take out from their progeny those who say la ilaha illallah, those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. That companion mentions that they said, your prophet taught you people everything. He says, yes, there's not a bird flying in the sky except if we needed info, he gave us info about that matter. That shows his mercy upon the ummah, that he wanted them to know about all matters which would take them into Jannah. Walhamdulillah. During Hajj, he asked the companions that if Allah asks you people about me, what will you say? They said that we will testify that you gave off the message and you advised, etc., etc. He said, oh Allah, you witness. Oh Allah, you witness. Oh Allah, you be witness with regards to this matter. He said to the people that my example to you people is like a person who comes to his people and he says that I saw an army. And I am a naked warner to you people. The army is coming to destroy you people. So those who believed him and listened to him, they were saved. And those who said, no, you're talking nonsense, etc. Then when the army came, they were destroyed. He also said, my example to you people is like this fire. And insects and all of this are like going into the fire. And so you people want to go into the fire and I want to hold you back. And I want to hold you back. Right? Like that last brick now. So the whole building there, it's missing one brick. He is like that last brick. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he turned the people away to that which is better for them. Somebody came and asked him, when is the hour? He said, what did you prepare for it? The man said, nothing except that I love Allah and I love his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you will be with whomsoever you love. You will be with whomsoever you love. With regards to his bravery, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his strength, he would perform salah until his feet would swell up. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the battle of Hunain, he was the one who was there. I am the prophet, and come back to me. When people began to flee, Jahid. When one night there was some noise in Medina al-Munawwara and people were afraid. By the time they came out, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was already returning. Don't worry, it's all fine. Meaning that he went out of his house straight away, got onto his horse, went and investigated on his own, checked up and stuff like this, and came back. Subhanallah. Jahid. With regards to the ummah and the haq of the ummah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam haq on the ummah, then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that nobody hears about him, no Jew or Christian or anything like that hears about him, except that if they do not believe in him and they pass away, then they will be from amongst the inhabitants of the hellfire. With regards to his sharia, then it's the best of shara'i, it's the best of sharia's. And it is good for all places and all times. Allah mentions, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. If you people love Allah, then follow me. Follow who? Follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to send the message. Upon the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to give the message, and upon us is to accept the message. Jahid. Also, from amongst the rights of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon us is that when we hear his name, we should say sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, upon his rights upon us, that we follow in the sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we defend the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we defend the honor of the Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. حياكم الله يا مشايخ. So that was a short overview of some of the character traits of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We move on بإذن الله تعالى to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. With regards to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and so that's a little bit with regards to his akhlaq. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a share of the character of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to join us with him in Jannatul Firdaus. With regards to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, we spoke about his birth, born after the year of the elephant. We discussed his name, his kunya, Abu Bakr. What does Bakr mean, Yusuf? A young, agile camel. What's Abu Bakr's name? What's Abu Bakr's name? His name was Abdullah. His name was Abdullah. Jayid. As for his title, then it was As-Siddiq. As-Siddiq means the testifier to the truth. Not the truthful one, rather the testifier to the truth. Jayid. We spoke about his family was a family of Iman. His parents, himself and his wife, his children, even his grandson, Abdullah ibn Az-Zubair. Abdullah ibn Az-Zubair is his grandson. How? Abu Bakr's daughter, Asma, Abu Bakr's daughter Asma, she got married to Az-Zubair, and then they had a son by the name of Abdullah ibn Az-Zubair, who also was one of the Khalifas of the Muslims. With regards to his family tree, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and his family tree, so we've covered something with regards to his father, Abu Quhafa Uthman ibn Amr. He accepted Islam during the conquest of Makkah. So very, very late, Jayid. His father, subhanAllah, was over 90 years old when he became Muslim. And his father died after Abu Bakr died. His father died at the age of plus minus 97. And his father had a lot of white hair, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that, you know, dye your hair, and then a portion of the hadith mentions, and avoid black. And we said that there's a lot of debate with regards to that addition, and this hadith is Sahih Muslim. As for his mother, then Imam As-Suyuti says that his father and mother, they were cousins. Allah knows best. Imam As-Suyuti says that Abu Bakr's father and Abu Bakr's mother, they were cousins. Her name was Al-Khair Salma bint Sakhar. She embraced Islam in the early years in Makkah. So she became Muslim in Makkah, and her husband became Muslim much, much later in the year 8 after Hijrah. So was it allowed for a Muslim woman to be with a non-Muslim man?
The ruling hadn't come in back.
Huh?
The ruling of not allowed.
Excellent, right? At that time it was still allowed, right? At that time it was still allowed. So she was a Muslim in the early years of Makkah, and she remained with her husband for all those years, and then 8 years in the Medina phase. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he had 4 wives in his lifetime. One of his wives was Qutayla bint Abdul Uzza. Qutayla bint Abdul Uzza ibn Abd ibn Asad. And it is said that he divorced her in the days of Jahiliyyah. And whether she became Muslim or not, it is disputed. And she is the one who brought gifts for her daughter Asma. Aisha and Asma are from different mothers, same father. So this Qutayla, she brought some, she came to visit her daughter in Medina al-Munawwara. And her daughter, Asma, was reluctant to meet her. How can I meet her, my mother? She's not a Muslim, etc., etc. Allah then mentioned in the Noble Quran, لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين. Allah does not prohibit you with regards to people who have not fought you to be good with them and kind with them, etc., etc. And so this Asma then realized that, I mean, my mother hasn't kicked us out or harmed us or killed us or anything like that. So there's no problem in me being good and kind with my mother and giving my mother an audience and allowing her in the house, etc. Then there was also Umruman, Jayid. She was married after being widowed. She embraced Islam early and made the hijrah to Medina al-Munawwara. She died in Medina al-Munawwara during his life. She passed away in the year 6 after Hijrah. So Abu Bakr's second wife, she died in the year 6 after Hijrah. No, she had children. She had, that's the mother of Aisha. Jay, that's the mother of Aisha. So subhanAllah, imagine. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, her mother passed away in the year 6 after Hijrah. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, her age at that time was probably about 12 or 13. Right? Her age at that time was about 12 or 13, and her mother had passed away. There's also a hadith that whoever wants to look at a woman of Jannah, then look at Ruman, the wife of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, the mother of Aisha, but that hadith has weakness in it. Right? Then the third wife was Asma bint Umays. Right? He had a daughter by the name of Asma, and he also had a wife by the name of Asma. So his wife Asma bint Umays, she embraced Islam early and migrated to Abyssinia. She went with who? With Jafar. She was the wife of Jafar. Right? And she had gone to Abyssinia. And when Jafar was martyred in the battle of Mu'tah, then later on Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he's the one who got married to her. Right. Mu'tah was in the year 7 after Hijrah. And this Asma bint Umays, she's the one who performed the ghusl over Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. And later on, she got married to Ali radiallahu ta'ala anha and had a son by the name of Yahya. So listen. This Asma bint Umays was married to Jafar, Ali's brother. He was killed. Then she got married to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. After Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an passed away, she got married to Ali radiallahu ta'ala an and had a son by the name of Yahya. Jaid? Yes, she was married to two brothers, and in between she was married to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. And lastly, the fourth wife, by the name of Habiba bint Kharija. This is the wife that Abu Bakr left pregnant when he passed away. When he passed away, he left behind a pregnant wife. This was the pregnant wife, Habiba bint Kharija. She was the daughter of Zayd ibn Kharija. Zayd ibn Kharija was Abu Bakr's brother via brotherhood. You remember in Medina al-Munawwara, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam joined between the Muhajirin and the Ansar. So this person here, Habiba bint Kharija, she was the daughter, she was the daughter of that Kharija ibn Zayd, the brother of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, via that brotherhood which the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam formed. She was pregnant when Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an passed away. What age did he pass away? He passed away at the age of 63, and he left behind a pregnant wife. Allahumma subhanallah. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, he had 6 kids, 3 sons and 3 daughters. Right? 6 kids, 3 sons and 3 daughters. And bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, in our next majlis, we will continue our discussion with the kids of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. Some of their names, obviously we know Aisha, and then Aisha's brother, her blood brother by the name of Abdul Rahman. Then there was also Asma bint Umays. Right? There was Abdullah, there was Muhammad, and there was Kulthum. So there were 6 children of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. Walhamdulillah. Jayid. We will end off here bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, and we will continue in our next majlis. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best in this world and in the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to join us with our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannatul Firdaus. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite us with Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an in Jannatul Firdaus. Hayyakumullah. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.